Oh, I'm a dusty vagabond, a drifter on the run, and eloquent profanity rolls right off my tongue. And I've dined in palaces, I've drunk wine with kings and queens, but darling, oh darling, you're the best thing I ever seen. Won't you roll me easy, so slow and easy, take my independence, no apprehension, no tension, walking, talking, paradise, sweet paradise. I've been across this country, from Denver to the ocean, and I never met girls who could sing so sweet like the angels are living in Houston, singing roll me easy, so slow and easy, play a concertina, be a temptress, and baby I'm defenseless, singing harmony in unison, sweet harmony. You gotta watch the flag now, beat your drum.
Song called Roll 'Em Easy. That was John Pusset Dot right there. Cover a Little Feat song. Fantastic job right there, too. So before that, we heard A Thousand Miles From You. I was off a sample of this. County Line and What Can I Say? All John Pusset Dot. In anticipation of his in-studio with us. Hey, John.
Good to be here.
Oh, how come that's not working? Let's try that.
Is that
oh,
there?
That's am much
I
better.
I exist.
Are you hearing
I
yourself?
I have a voice.
And a fine voice at that, let me tell you. Just on that last song, what I really like about that last song, Roll 'Em Easy, is it really does, you really kind of capture that, the vocal in that, you know? I mean, not that you were trying to make it sound like Little Feat, but you know, Little Feat's vocals, Lil George had this, you know, he had an energy.
Oh, you can't top
you know what
Lowell.
I mean?
You can't top Lowell.
And I think that's just a brilliant
well,
cover.
Thank you. I always loved that song. I always wanted to do a version of it. I mean, it was of all that, from that period, it was one of the great songs. I just always wanted to get a version of that down.
Mm. Well, congrats. That was good.
Thank you. Thank you.
And let's see. Sorry, I still feel like I'm out of breath here.
You got to keep catching up. I know. We're catching up, too. We just drove up from New York, so we're still catching up.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's for sure. I know that you're playing tonight over in Ogunquit at Jonathan's.
Yeah, indeed.
And so making the trip up is one thing. It's a little bit of a haul.
It's not too bad. We just had to get up early because we wanted to be here for you.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's one thing to get to the show on time, but to get here extra early for me is a whole other thing, well, even though I definitely appreciate
we're
it.
We're happy
sure.
to be here.
All right, well, I'm very excited to have you here, that's for sure. And everyone I've told has been sort of like slapped me on the back for getting you to come into the studio.
Well, good. We're happy to be up here. We love this area, so and it's a perfect day out there. So.
It is absolutely fantastic day to go see some live music, and especially up there in Ogunquit.
Yeah.
Have you played up there at Jonathan's before?
I have. I haven't been there in a little bit, but I played there many times. It's a great room, and we are very fortunate to have a lot of good friends up this way, so
nice.
It's...
Yeah, so, this, you know, this whole, well, the whole New England area, I'm sure, is a...
has been just wonderful, and I'm so appreciative of all the people who have come out and supported the band through all these years. It's great. It's really great.
Well, it's great to, great to have you back in the area, and great to have you here. So,
yeah.
Why don't we start with a live thing, and then when you're playing, I'll relax, and everyone will be cool.
All right, we're just going to do just a nice kind of acoustic thing, if that's okay.
That's perfect.
From a song I wrote with a friend of mine in Nashville, and it goes like this. Baby, I can't fool myself. Try to act like somebody else. Promise you a life of luxury, 'cause darling, that ain't me. And I can't act like all those other guys, buying fancy presents for their wives. But if you want a heart that's true, I'm the man for you. If you want a sweet, sweet love, stand the test of time. Look no further than mine. But if you want to wear that party dress, I don't really have a chance, I guess. If you want a heart that's true, I'm the man for you. I'm never gonna drive around the stop. Never gonna make a banker smile, but if I can win you, I'll be rich enough for me. I can't pretend to be what I'm not, but I will give you everything I've got. So if you want a heart that's true, I'm the man for you. If you want a sweet, sweet love, stand the test of time. Look no further than mine. But if you want a mansion in Bel Air, I don't think we've really got a prayer. If you want a heart that's true, baby, I'm the man for you. If you want a sweet, sweet love, stand the test of time. Look no further than mine. I hope I've made it perfectly clear that everything you need is standing here. So if you want a heart that's true, I'm the man for you. Yes, if you want a heart that's true, darling,
fantastic. That was awesome. I'm the man for you. That was John Pusadat live in the WSDA studios. And Paul, I didn't get your last name.
This is
name.
Paul Sokolo.
Paul Sokolo on
way
bass
back.
And background vocals. And I love that little high thing he's got going for him there.
Absolutely.
I'm always jealous of those.
And he knows what he's doing with those strings, I have to say.
Well, some of them.
At least four of them, right? well, welcome, Paul. For you. That sounded great. Thank you. Do you have any particular way you want this interview to go other than well? I was thinking, should we start now and work backwards, or should we start now and stay now, or, you know?
I thrive on complete chaos. Wherever you'd like to go is where I would like to go.
Well, if you don't mind, then, if that's the case, I have no idea where I want to go, so this will be chaotic as it comes. Let's start now. I always wonder, because you have such a rich history, especially in this area, and a lot of people know you, and a lot of people know you from back in the mid 70s. Mm-hmm. So I definitely want to talk about that and your experiences back at that time. But we were talking off air, and you mentioned you have a new album out. So if you don't mind, let's start with that.
Really happy with this new record, and the band is all over this record. It's called Anti-Gravity. And it's got a I wrote a lot of it, and myself as well as there's a bunch of co-writes with some really great writers in Nashville, as well as the other band member who's not here, Jim Chapdelaine. Chapdelaine and I wrote the title track, Anti-Gravity, and it is an 8-song EP. I was going to go for like a longer disc, and then there was a bunch of stuff I wanted to go back in and spend a little more time on, so we decided to pare it down to 8 tracks that were really just kind of rock solid, and it's just about to come out, and I wish I had a copy with me right now because I'd love to play it, but it's going to be forthcoming, I would say, in the next week. But the formal release, we're still working out the you know, all that stuff, but but it is physically pressed and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's good. So it should be delivered soon.
Yeah,
that's
good.
And so how do you feel it came out? If you, if you're comparing yourself to early John, what would you, you know, where would you put yourself? Or do you do that?
I don't, but I think that if you were, if I was to look at it in that way, I think that most artists, I would say, I feel, get better with age. You know, that's contrary to what, you know, in the pop music business, kind of when you're young, that's kind of when you get where all the money is. And then as you get older, people, you know, the whole game changes. When in fact, I think it should be the complete polar opposite, because I think that most artists, as they get older, just
get better,
better and better. And you get better at your craft, you get better at what you do. So, you know, consequently, I feel that the later the record, my latest records are the best things I've done. And that's, you know, and I'm closest to what I'm obviously, like most artists, closest to what I've been doing now.
Right.
And focus on that.
You say you met, you did a lot of co-writes. Is that a fairly new thing for you? I know that you did some co-writes on the last album.
I started, you know, and early on when the band was together, I was doing almost no co-writing other than Curtis and I wrote a few things in the original band. But I didn't write at all. And then in the mid-90s, my present manager called me up. He was with Asylum Records at that time. And they called me up and said, he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm up here in New York. He said, why don't you come down here and I'm going to set you up with all of the writers that I'd grown up listening to as a kid. So it was kind of very, you know, I was put the fear of God in me to sit down with these people I'd listened to my whole life and write with them. So it was a new experience for me. And then I started doing that. And I really, really started liking working in that mode. And I did a lot of that. And since then, I've gone back and continued to do both, where I've come back and really written a lot on my own. And then I also really like to go down. I primarily go down to Nashville just because I have so many good friends there and write a lot there. But it's a little of both. You know, it's songs are mysterious things. You know, you never really know where they're going to come from. You know.
And with some of the co-writers, Daryl Scott, I know Daryl, you write with Daryl quite a bit.
Daryl's
he
great.
Is... He blows my mind.
Daryl's the only person. He reminds me very much of the only person I've ever met that reminded me a lot of Lowell. You know, he has kind of a lot of. He's that kind of powerhouse. Mm-hmm. You know,
he's got the whole package for sure. He's a great, but I love his lyrics. Of course, he has a great voice as well.
Absolutely, he's a wonderful player.
And he's a great guitar player.
I just saw him with Robert Plant in the Band of Joy. He's out with those guys.
Is he really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Wow, good for him.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Is he playing in the band?
Yeah, he's playing everything. He's playing guitar, mandolin, banjo. Pedal steel.
Awesome. Good
keys.
For him.
He's playing everything. Buddy Miller's doing most of the guitars, and Daryl's playing everything else.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That'd be a great show to see. I got to get out and see that for sure. Wow, that's fantastic. Well, time right now is 2:15. We're live in the studio with John Pousset Dart, and he's performing tonight up at Jonathan's in Ogunquit. So I encourage you to get on up there and check him out for sure, because it's going to be fantastic. Let's go to another live thing, and then we can come back.
Okay, we're going to do a song that I wrote with a really great songwriter named Fred Knobloch, who I've known for years in Nashville, and we wrote this one a while back, and it's on Put Down Your Gun, which is the last record that the band actually did, we all kind of did together, but I wrote it with Fred, and I just think the world of him. It goes like this.
Thought that I could steal the waters, sail up on a raging sea, build a fortress high and mighty. No one would ever conquer me, that I could always keep my distance until I heard her call my very first time she kissed me. I knew my heart would never be the same. You're amazing to me. How can this be? Such a sweet surrender. Who could have thought that I would fall in love forever? You're amazing. You're amazing to me. I never tried to count the stars above me or walk beneath the shining moon and finally say the words I love. And I can hear the softest whisper, and I can feel the slightest touch. Don't really understand the mystery, how a heart could change so much. You're amazing to me. How can this be? Such a sweet surrender. Who could have thought that I would fall in love forever? You're amazing to me. Such a sweet surrender. Who could have thought that I would fall in love?
Beautiful nonetheless. Amazing to me. That was John Pusad Dart. Live in the WSDA studios. Fantastic. I love the ballad you do.
Thank you. You're
a great ballad singer as well. I know that. Not really. I was going to say that came more in your later career. But that's not entirely true.
It's really a split, you know. I mean, stylistically, I feel like I'm kind of all over the place. I mean, I like ballads, but I just like all forms of music, mm-hmm. and I think as a writer and a singer, I kind of split, you know, between all of it, you know.
You're performing now, now you're here as a duo today. What do the concerts look like now? Are you performing mostly solo, duos? You got the band?
We do as many band dates as possible, uh-huh. Because I really love this band, and so we're constantly trying
to do. He needs
us. Yeah, I have to. I can't function without them. I do some solo dates. You know, there's a split, but a lot of times it's economic. A lot of times it has to do with with the size of the room, and there are those considerations. But whenever we can get the band out there, that's what I'm looking to do.
Right. Well, that's good. I wasn't sure whether, because I know that early on, when you're in your earliest career, you basically were doing the coffee house scene, just like most aspiring musicians.
Yeah.
And then kind of, you know, jumped into the whole rock and roll scene and went band crazy from then on.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if you were heading more back to, especially with some of the songs I've heard recently, On the Heart and Soul, even though that's a great band album too. But
this new record is really rocking. I mean, it's got a lot of rocking stuff on it. We're not really emphasizing that here today. We're just kind of doing more kind of kind of acoustic things. But the band, this band rocks. I mean, it's a really, you know, it's a strong unit. And Paul. We've played together for many, many years, and Eric Parker has been also worked with for a lot of years. I was out back in the days. He was out with me touring with Little Feat and John Hall and Bonnie Raitt and all through that period. And Jim Chapdelaine, who's plays guitar in the band, is just an incredible musician. He plays with myself, and you remember Al Anderson from NRBQ? He plays with Al.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And
I wouldn't have been able to pick out his name, but...
Oh, Al's just a piece of work. He's amazing. He's just one of the great, great, great artists and guitar players.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim plays with him as well. And so it's just a great band.
All right. Well, great. So I encourage everyone to get on up there and check them out tonight for sure. On this album, the name of the new album is called Anti-Gravity, again. and that should be released very shortly.
Yeah, we're just about to hit. People, you know, the best thing to do right now is just to go to the site, and it'll be in all the portals. But you know, at the moment, I think that we're just about to bring in the promo team and all that stuff on, so it's just at the very beginning stages. But at the website at www.pusetdart.com, pusetdart.com, which is that's the place to go to kind of get the updates.
The updates when the album actually gets there, and then you can pick it up at the site right there. I encourage you to do that for sure. I was talking to when I was arranging for you to come in. That's John too,
John,
right?
John Conn, yeah, my manager.
Right.
Yeah.
He was telling me about a song on the album that has to do with Alzheimer's.
Yes.
And I was wondering if you could just talk about that a little bit and how that came to be. And
yeah, how that came to be is my wife's mother died of Alzheimer's, and for the last year and 2 years really of her life, we were going out to a place in Bethlehem, PA, to a nursing home, and I would take a guitar and sing with all the folks there because it was the one thing that kind of uplifted them and brought them out of this kind of, you know, the endlessly sitting in this environment. And what happened is there was this one song that they would request called The Isle of Capri, which I think Sinatra did. It was an old standard.
Uh-huh.
And so we brought a video camera out there and I recorded it. And what would happen is we'd sing the song, and as soon as the song was finished, they'd go, "Let's do that song, Isle of Capri." They wouldn't even remember that they sang, just sang the song.
Wow.
So it was really kind of a moving thing. And so that started the whole process of doing a film. She's doing a documentary about that now. And then my other writing partner in Nashville, Jamie Kyle, has written a lot of stuff for Faith Hill, is a wonderful writer and singer. Her mother just died of it. So we got together and decided to kind of voice this thing that's going on rampantly across this country at the moment. It's just everyone I know is dealing with this. It seems like that and cancer,
right.
Alzheimer's and cancer is just rampant. So we wanted to address that, and the film is about ways that, you know, people can find to navigate through it, which is it's a really tough place to be. And so that's how the song came.
Wow, that's interesting. That must have been a powerful experience.
It was very much so to get to see it face up close and see what my wife went through with her own mother, and then eventually at the end when we would go out there and be with her, she didn't even know who we were, you know.
Did you tell me about the experience of actually playing the song and seeing the reactions? Because I would imagine that's a different experience.
One of the reasons we did it is because the amazing thing about Alzheimer's is when people completely forget who their families are in their lives, when you sing them songs, they instantly connect, and it takes them to this place where all of this recall comes back. And so music is just an amazingly strong force in you know, contacting people in all levels of whatever disease they're suffering. Music is such a bridge, and so that's how it kind of came to be, because that was the one thing in the room that would just light up an entire room for people that you didn't even know.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Good for you to do that. And I definitely want to talk about your wife and your involvement in what she does. Because we have the New Hampshire Film Festival coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, you're going to want her film. She was just in the Martha's Vineyard Film Festival.
Oh, yeah.
She's in the Brooklyn Film Festival this weekend, and I'm sure she would love to get the film. It's just the trailer right now because the long version is yet to be cut. But she's been doing the short versions in the local film festivals, and I'm sure she would love to have it.
It's in 2 weeks, so I'm pretty sure they've got it.
They missed it for this one.
Yeah, they've already got it set up. But we should definitely
down the line, the long one.
Yeah, we should definitely talk to her about that.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, for sure. Time right now is about 25 past the hour, live in the studio. With John Pusset Dart and Paul Sokolow.
Paul Sokolow.
Sokolow. Right, that was pretty close.
It was.
Yeah,
that was good.
So I'm trying.
Almost, yeah.
If you heard some of the ways I butchered other people's names, you'd be applauding me. Let's do one more live thing, if you don't mind.
How about an old one? How about
great.
Back to the Beginning? This song people ask for a lot, and it goes back to when I first moved out to California. It was written in Stockton, California, of all places, which is kind of an ungodly place. But the song came out of there. Lost your soul and spirit too.
and sunny skies, but he's always blue. Not a single cloud put the cool on you. It's sunny, is there nothing I can do? Put the cool on you, mama. That's the key, I know you got to shine. Hell is fogged. Jesus, let it rain. We show back in New York, they don't feel the same. Can't feel the sweat. Jesus, let it rain. Miss Sunny, is there nothing I can do? No, no, no. Put the cool on you. Shine all day. Even if I'm freezing, I just find my way. Yeah.
Song called Freezing Hot, and that was John Prince Dial Live in the WSTA studios. Definitely an oldie and a goodie. Now that you're out there, well, have you ever taken a break from touring? I know that you were kind of, you were real hot back, as we said earlier. You know, you were real hot back in the 70s, early 80s. Did you ever take a break, you know, from doing what you're doing?
There was, you know, there was a, I would say that when the 70s came to a close, there a lot of things kind of stopped for a little bit. When we left Capitol, we left Capitol contract, the band disbanded. I got divorced. I was like, left my manager. It was like everything kind of just came down, you know. And so, and there was a long period of kind of restructuring and kind of putting things back together. So there was a period when I was off the road, per se, and then, but I started kind of coming back in and playing all over again in the New York area, and I started doing a lot of session work in New York, and then slowly started putting the pieces back and started going back on the road. But touring, per se, as I used to tour, which would be like we used to tour our brains out, like, you know, the bus, you know, just be on a bus for endlessly for, you know, 3 months in a row for, with one day off, and that kind of touring has long kind of not been anything close to that. It's more jumping around sporadically here and there, and it's touring, but it's not in the way that it used to be, right, or to the extent of it. You know?
Well, you were definitely back then. The band was, you know, we talked about Little Feet. I know you were out doing your own. I mean, you're always doing your own thing, but you were out on some monster tours. The Frampton Comes Alive tour, and you toured with Yes and Little Feet, and those are just, that had been, you know, obviously touring like that is definitely a young man's game anyway.
But yeah, that must have been. There's a lot of older people out there touring now, though. It's amazing. I mean, you know, this it's just a matter of, you know, if we had a the airplay going on and with all the markets kind of responsive, I'd be out there in a minute to kind of to do that kind of work. It's just a matter of you really have to have everything all plugged in and kind of lined up. And without it, it's kind of hit or miss.
Uh-huh.
So you do what you can with, you know, where the markets and where your response is. But yeah, back in those days, we were with, you know, we were with Premier Talent, which was an English agency, so, and with Don Law. So they'd stick us out on these gargantuan tours, and we would just kind of, it was like getting thrown to the wolves, but we just kind of did the best we could, you know. Opening for Black Oak, Arkansas, and all that kind of all that whole thing, you know.
So what was the best and worst about that part of your life?
There was nothing, you know, it was just a really, it's just a massive education, you know, when you're that young and to go out on the road and hit it that hard and do the amount of work we did. It was just an incredibly educational experience, and also it was just completely wild. It was a different world back then. Yeah. It was like the Wild West, you know. And it was just crazy. I mean, people have no idea how crazy it was. Yeah. It was just really a different game. It's, you know, rock and roll now is kind of very legitimate. It's like dealing with banks. It's all kind of been legitimized. Boy, it just wasn't that way back then. It was like really, people were really, really, you know, taking shots, and it was like sitting around a big roulette table, you know.
Really? Well, I'm glad you survived. For the roulette, anyway. Time right now is 2:33, and you're listening to John Pusadat live in the WCA studios, and he is going to be performing tonight, actually, over in Ogunquit at Jonathan's. Mm-hmm. It'll be a fantastic show. That's a great venue, too, to see a show, and so I encourage you to get on up there and see him for sure. We got time for another live thing, if you would like to.
How about we'll leave you with a real, another kind of old one. This one is gets requested a lot, and I wrote this for a little girl back in Cambridge in the early days. We used to work a theater called the Orson Welles, and there was a little woman, a waitress from Amsterdam, used to work there, and she used to bring her daughter, and I wrote this for her. And since then, I've met a few people who've named their children the same, as well as animals, small beings of different types.
Yeah, I love to watch you smile. And yeah, you're the reason your mom smiles. You are a candle beneath the falling rain. You are the child. Understand just the same. You are a candle beneath the falling rain. You are the child in which the love still remains. Oh no, now, yeah. I love to watch you smile.
Very nice. Yeecha, again, John Pusadat, live in the WSEA studios. I have yet to meet someone named Yeecha, though, I have to tell you.
Well, maybe one day, I guess.
I'm looking. before you play that song, you mentioned requests. And does it surprise you what comes up with requests now? I'm just thinking, I'm sure there's a few songs that I imagine you get requested all the time. Mm-hmm. Are there any of the old songs that come up that surprise you every now and then that someone will say, can you pull that one out?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you never know where things are going to come from. And, you know, and I mean, one of the things is that we get together and we get together as much as we can, but there's always like some piece of song that people request that we don't, you know, that we haven't worked up. And so it's always like, you know, you find stuff here and there that falls in that people ask for, and you go, well, you know, we're going to try and work it out. We don't have one right at the moment, but we're, you know. But in general, there's a few that, you know, some of that song, Yecha, is a very heavily requested song, and County Line and Amnesia, What Can I Say, those ones which were garnered a lot of airplay back then. But, you know, it really does kind of come from all over. I mean, people, you never know what people are
going to... What's hit people in the past.
What they want to hear, yeah.
Right. Well, I know that song, Amnesia, it's... would you say that was your biggest hit, or...
You know, Amnesia was a very kind of cult song, you know, and one of the strangest things about it was when we cut that song, we'd done the second album, and when we did the record, Capitol said, you know what, there's no single here, we want you to go back and do a few more. So we went back to Nashville, and I cut Nashville at their request, and then when they put the record out, they didn't put it out as a single because they were releasing another artist at that time named Richard Torrance, who had an upscale up-tempo song, so they wanted to go down-tempo with us, and they put Fall on Me as the single, and it was the complete wrong call. And that's the kind of stuff that goes on with labels all the time, you know, where they just make the complete wrong decision. And I really believe if they had chosen Amnesia for a single, it would have completely altered the course of the band hugely, but they didn't make that call. And things like that go on all the time in the record business. It's just, you know, you just ask anybody who's in a band, they'll tell you the stories about
I definitely hear it all the time, the wrong calls,
you know.
And it surprises me because that's I mean, you say it's a cult favorite, but I mean, that, well, maybe it's just because it was this area, I don't know, but I haven't heard that song a lot back.
It gets picked up on, I mean, XM has picked it up in Deep Tracks, and it moves around in different places. It's just one of those songs that was just, I mean, I literally wrote that song in about 10 minutes. It was
really?
Like, bang, you know? So,
that's awesome.
You know, sometimes the best things don't come with too much thought.
Right. You know? Well, there you go. Maybe just getting the thought out of the way. But it is a fantastic song. And you redid it on Sample This.
Yeah, I did a kind of a real... I did a completely different version of that song. I wanted to just take it out and do something completely different with it.
And how was the reaction to that? Because I thought it was...
a lot of people like it.
I think it's great.
It's just a totally different... You know, it's just another, you know... I just went for something that was just a groove, you know, where I wanted to just develop a groove.
And there's a feel, though. I mean, it really does. It's almost like you have certain people who can interpret certain songs a certain way. You know, with Amnesia, the way you sang it the first time, you know, it's got that poppy kind of upbeat thing going for it. The way you sang it in the sample of this, it has. It gives it a whole different feel. It's like it makes it a whole different song, but still legitimate in its own. You know, it wasn't like you just changed something. It's almost like you created something.
It was a whole different thing. I mean, I was trying to kind of create a very goofy hip hop kind of, you know, with a real sense of humor about the kind of the whole take on it. Yeah. I wanted to have fun with it. You know,
it just sounded like a little bit of a deranged.
That was deranged. Deranged is exactly what I was going for.
You captured that. You captured it great. Time right now is about 20 minutes before the hour. We've been live in the studio with John Pusset and Paul Sokolow. And thank you both for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us. And, you know, I really hope, keep in touch with John. We'd love to get the new one for you to spin up here.
Oh, you bet. Yeah, I'll definitely hound him for that.
Anti-Gravity, I think, is going to be right up your alley.
Yeah, good. All right, we'll look for it. And I definitely want to, I know I said we wanted to talk to him. Maybe you can talk a little bit about it if you want, your wife's filmmaking. Because this is going to be, I mean, the film festival that's happening in a couple of weeks, it's a big deal around here, and we're really behind it, and we really want to support filmmakers and all that stuff.
Well, so. I'm sure she would love to be aware of it, and I'd love to get the information from you, because she had, her first film was about the U.S. Olympic team. We did, was about the U.S. water polo team, and that was shown quite a bit, and that's out. That's been out for a while, but in this new one, she's cut the trailer for it, and we've also done a music video of Jamie and I doing the song at my studio in New York, and so that's all forthcoming. So we would love to be in touch with you.
All right, definitely. We'll talk about that then. That's great. So I just want to say thank you once again for coming in. Have a great show up in Algonquin. Paul, nice to meet you. And what I think I'm going to do, if you don't mind, I know you've heard this song over and over again, but I might as well go to that Amnesia. So we'll go to the original version, if you don't mind.
Thank you.
This is John Pousset there.
Thanks for having us.
You bet.
When you hit me on the head with your beer bottle, something in my chemistry to change. And though I've already decided to forgive you, my friends think I'm permanently deranged. When I wake up, try to put the pieces all together of all the loving times that we did have. I get static in the ears and a hazy picture, and I hear your voice inside begin to laugh. I can't remember past a few minutes ago. The darkness all come up with the same answer. For